Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Once again, joining us in the studio today, New Hanover County Manager Chris Coudray. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you.
Also with us, the county's finance director, Lisa Wurzbacher. Welcome to Coastline.
Thank you.
We're talking about how a $160 million school bond would affect the county tax rate and the major projects county officials have in the pipeline. If you have a question for either of our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us using CoastlineHQR. We have an email from Anne, and she says, is this a good time to fund a needed school bond due to low interest rates? Is it similar to a mortgage where you can lock in a low fixed rate for the 20 years of the bond? How does that work?
Certainly, the rates are as competitive as they have been and probably more competitive than they will be looking forward. Now, that being said, New Hanover County is, because of good, strong management, good, strong fiscal policies as adopted by the board, we hold a double AAA rating. So whenever we go to the bond market, we will always win very favorable interest rates in terms. But that said, certainly the rate today is more than likely lower than what it will be looking forward in 3 years or 5 years.
What is the current debt load of the county? Woody White, county chair, who is also a vocal opponent of this bond, says we pay $52 million a year just in debt service. And he made the point in an interview that we aired today that if $52 million wasn't going to that debt service, it takes about $18 million to build a school, so we could build at least a couple of schools with that money. Is he right?
The county currently has about $400 million in debt, and that goes back quite a number of years. Dr. Markley mentioned earlier prior school bonds. So we have debt out there that relates to school bonds. We have debt out there that relates to community colleges, the building of the Humanities and Fine Arts building, Union Station downtown. All of those things were funded by debt. And we have debt that also relates to general county buildings and that sort of thing. So there is debt out there for a variety of purposes.
And the cost of that debt annually right now is about $52 million.
Yes.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the school bond that's on the ballot for New Hanover County voters this November and how that fits into the overall financial landscape for the county. You can give us a call if you have a question for the county finance director or the county manager at 910-343-1138. Jill from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering, I'm actually in support of the school bond. I think that school district and the teachers and everyone that works there has a really hard job and deserves the community support. I also live in a part of Wilmington that has seen so many new neighborhoods, new houses, more children flooding into the schools. If the concept of an impact fee that developers pay, not only to help pay for our schools, but to help pay for our roads, so that there is money coming in on the front end to carry part of the burden that all the growth creates for us. I mean, growth is a great opportunity and has real challenges. Related to that, I'm wondering also if there's not a way to tap into the companies to create private-public partnerships where the companies that ultimately benefit from an educated community help to support the costs of the schools, not just putting it on the backs of the property tax base.
That's a great question, Jill. Chris Coudray, do we have anything like that in place?
Let me address the impact fee first. And that is not something that has gone without great debate with all 100 counties in North Carolina. And for many years in the early part of this decade was part of the legislative discussion. But quite candidly, statutorily, counties are not allowed to charge impact fees. There are a collection of, say, less than six that have existing legislative authority. But the balance of the counties do not have the ability to unilaterally charge an impact fee unless the General Assembly gives us the authority.
Under what circumstances would the General Assembly give a county authority to do something like that?
I can't think of one in the last 15 years that that has happened. In fact, in the middle part of the first decade of this new century, the General Assembly did give counties the option for a quarter-cent sales tax or what is known as a land transfer fee or impact fee. And that was defeated by Bond and every county that ran it. And ultimately, the General Assembly did away with the statutory authority to even pose that question to the voter. So I don't see a public policy environment in the near term that will be open or receptive to the idea of impact fees or land transfer fees.
And just out of curiosity, you mentioned you think there might be six counties that have that authority. They have the existing legislative authority. And why are they different?
They were able in almost every instance in the 1980s, before large growth cycles in this state, were able to secure special local authorization. Several of those counties actually have impact fees in place. Other counties have the authority via the voter to approve it, and those counties have not had it approved.
Jill, thanks so much for your call. We have an email from Janet. She says, I agree as a community. We are all invested in making sure students receive the best education. It's for the good of all. However, over the years, improvements have been made with new schools and all the bells and whistles. Yet throughout the world, USA has a very low ranking of student academics. My question, there are a lot of children who are extremely talented academically and artistically who come out of a homeschooled environment where there are no frills as far as physical structures. Wouldn't the money be better spent on the teachers and the classroom supplies?
That is really a question I think better posed to the school board who deals with curriculum in education delivery. Our responsibility, and Lisa and I can only speak to the county role, that is to build facilities for the public school system. And oh, by the way, not the charter school system. We're not providing capital to the charter schools in this county. Our responsibility is to provide capital school facilities to the traditional K-12 system.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about a $160 million school bond on the ballot in New Hanover County, what it could do for the school system, and what it could mean for the property tax rate. If you have a question for County Finance Director Lisa Wurzbacher or County Manager Chris Coudray, give us a call at 910-343-1138. We'll also read your email if you send it to coastline@whqr.org. One of the other options for funding school renovations was we hear a lot about the growth of the tax base and why isn't the growth of the county? We hear about all these population trajectories. This area is going to see so much growth over the next several years. So in light of that growth, why can't we just rely on the increase in revenue that will come from that?
Let me say, and I'm sure Lisa will be glad to speak to the model that she's used, and it assumes growth in our tax base. But we have to be realistic about where we are and where we have come from over the last 5 or 6 years. When we did our last revaluation that was effective January 1st, 2012, and the revenue raised with our budget that started July 1st, our tax base had shrunk 15%. Our base went from $34 billion to $29 billion. We are in the process of a revaluation now, and I speak with our tax administrator every month, most recently 2 weeks ago today, about what does that reval look like. And he is telling me with a high degree of confidence that we will possibly recapture all that we lost. So even with the reval that's effective in 2017, and that's still well into the future, our base may not be what it was just 2 years ago. So that we just have to face that reality. Yes, we're growing. Our population is growing. I saw something that in the last 3 years, I saw it today from the state demographer, our population locally has grown by 5.4% in 3 years. Our tax base for 2 years has grown less than 0.5% every year. So certainly we look forward to the revaluation, but it is not, in my professional opinion, it is not going to solve the revenue challenge that we face.
What about raising the sales tax rate then? This is an economy based on tourism. Why can't we have people who come in here to enjoy the beaches and who leave help to fill that gap?
I think that's a fair question. Again, sales tax, just as we talked limitedly about the impact fee, the ability for a local government, a county specifically, because we are the ones who levy sales tax, we can only levy the rate by which the General Assembly gives us the authority. And we have, quite candidly, as it relates to general purpose funding, maximized our ability to implement a sales tax. So if we were to raise it for general purpose or education beyond what we have in place today, that would take legislative authority.
We would have to get legislative permission. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the $160 million school bond on the ballot in New Hanover County, how it could affect property tax rates. If you have a question, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You also have, Lisa Wurzbacher, a hefty reserve fund, as I understand. And some people have said, why aren't you just using some of that reserve to pay for these renovations?
That's right. The county does have what we term as a fund balance, and that's money that's set aside. And we developed a policy, I believe it was last year, to have a minimum of 21% 21% fund balance policy, which means 21% of the expenditures, the operational expenditures. And we have that, which also helped us to upgrade our bond rating. So that was good for the county. But we have that because we don't have a consistent cash flow throughout the year. The county's – your taxes are due in January, and so we don't receive that money throughout the year. We have times when cash is lower, and then we have January when cash is coming in the door. So the county does need those reserves. And also for unexpected expenditures or needs that come up, we need to have that reserve as well.
And what are examples of unexpected expenditures that you might use the reserve fund for?
Well, I'm going to give you an example of a project last year. We had a request from one of the beaches to help fund some of their improvements as well. So things that come up like that, there may be a project at one of our government buildings that perhaps is in need of renovation and comes up and perhaps something breaks and we need that additional funding to help fix those things.
You're listening to Coastline. We have just about 5 minutes left in the show. If you have a question about the school bond or the county finances, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also send an email to coastline@whqr.org. Joseph from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. I was wondering, this is my own idea. When you purchase a house, which I have in Wilmington, and you purchase it, and that's your tax rate. And when they increase the tax rate, why the people that purchased their house, they're purchasing that house at that tax rate. Why can't they keep that tax rate until the property is resold? And because what actually happens is what they can do, the people that tax, is they can keep raising taxes and price people that lived in Wrightsville Beach for 40 years right off the island because they can't afford the taxes. You know, I mean, there's like no benefit to getting old.
Oh, you can say that again. Chris Coudray?
I mean, they could raise the tax rate on purchases after the date they raise them. Anybody that purchases a house, they raise the tax rate is raised.
Joseph, thanks so much for your call. We'll let Chris Coudray take a crack at that.
Well, I think first, fundamentally, the Machinery Act would expect and requires that we fairly and consistently apply tax policy across the board. And so we're not allowed or even in my own opinion on good public policy in the ability to offer varying tax rates in the same jurisdiction based upon your time and ownership. Now, that being said, when someone buys their property, that property, whatever the tax value is on the books, it remains flat unless they make improvements or when a revaluation occurs. So in effect, from a taxing perspective, if your house is on the books today at $250,000 worth of value, that is what is on the books from a tax perspective next year and will be the case through 2017.
Okay, briefly, we have just a couple minutes left in the show, but there is another person out there. The former county manager, Bruce Schell, has been putting forth another idea that this school bond would actually have less than a 2-cent tax impact if you use the debt that's coming, the money that you wouldn't be paying. This past debt, he's saying, is rolling off, and you can actually talk about the net cost and not have to deal with a 4-cent tax increase. Is it possible that we're overblowing it here?
Not at all. And I have the utmost respect for Bruce. In fact, I wouldn't be sitting here having a chance to interview with you and work with Lisa if it wasn't for Bruce Schell. But on this issue, we just fundamentally disagree. And I'm of the opinion what he is presenting as an option is not viable. It assumes that every dollar that's going out in debt service, when it sunsets, that it can go to new debt. And that's just not a possibility.
And that's this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank our guests, Dr. Tim Markley, Superintendent of New Hanover County Schools, County Manager Chris Coudray, and County Finance Director Lisa Wurzbacher. Thanks also to all of our listeners and those who called and emailed to join the conversation. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Join us next week. It's a station conversation with Cleve Callison, Bob Workman, and WHQR's Board President. They'll answer your questions about changes afoot here at Coastline's new time. Noon. Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Producer is Ken Campbell. Associate producer is Lindsay McGrath. Our music editor is Bob Workman. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.